Good afternoon. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 1:31, Wednesday, February 17th, 2010. With me today is Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, and Senator Egan. We'll have other legislators that'll come and go as we work through this presentation today. This is a continuation this afternoon of a presentation by the Department of Revenue concerning operating and capital expenditures in our oil tax structure. So we'll go ahead and walk through that. Hopefully we'll finish by 3 o'clock, and if we happen to run late, we'll pick it up in the morning and spend as much time on the issue as we need to until the members are comfortable with the subject matter, and then we'll move on to other issues. So with us this afternoon is Sherry Nienhaus, and we're going to just start with her. She can introduce herself for the record. And fire away.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sherry Nienhaus. I'm a petroleum economist with the Department of Revenue. What I'm going to present to you today is an update of the operating and capital lease expenditures, some of the information that we have received in the several years since we changed our tax system to a net profit system. So some of what you will be seeing will be information that we acquired either through the PPT, the former profits tax called the petroleum profits tax, and then also the information that we've received through the ACES tax since then. So to start out, let's go to the agenda. The agenda today is basically to explore what our lease expenditure sources of information are. Then we're going to talk about the total North Slope lease expenditures that we have seen in the way of information received via the net profits tax. Then we'll talk about the standard deduction provision and a slight recap on the capital expenditure exemption that is a 30-cent per barrel exemption. And then we'll talk a little bit about trends in North Slope spending that would be historical and projected trends. So to first cover our lease expenditure information sources, we have several different sources available to us. We have capital expenditure information, and I will tell you a little bit more about where we received that. We have historical and current and projected capital expenditure information. We receive monthly expenditure estimates. Those come in the form of our monthly information form that we get from all companies that are spending money in our oil and gas operations. We also receive annual expenditure information from the tax return. We received annual returns for calendar years 2006, and we will be receiving 2009 calendar year returns on March 31st of 2010. So we so far have 6, 7, and 8 annual returns for those calendar years. We also receive future expenditure projections from North Slope operators, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. And then lastly, and this is a point you'll probably hear me say more than once, is all of our expenditure information that we get comes in some sort of manual form. And when I say manual, I mean it comes in the form of Excel sheets, PDFs, and sometimes hard copy. So anything we have to do with lease expenditures is done on a manual basis from our econ research group. So to talk about the lease expenditure information sources, first of all, the capital expenditure information. During the petroleum profits tax discussion, one of the items that was a credit at that time, and is still a credit, but has changed a little bit since ACES, is that we had a transition investment expenditure credit. We also call that the TIE credit. That credit set up a system whereby companies could tell us what they spent between the years of 2001 and 2006, and they could receive a credit for that. With that provision, we received from companies their estimated capital expenditures for those years. So we do have capital expenditure information for those years from the TIE credit provision. We also receive monthly expenditure estimates. We began getting these in May 2008. The ACES tax system set up a structure such that companies that were spending money on in our oil and gas operations should submit to us once a month a form with their estimated expenditures and their estimated tax payments. We began receiving these in May of 2008, and we've been receiving them ever since. It's important to note that the monthly expenditure estimates are just estimates. They are not audited documents. They are primarily for the use of the economic research group to forecast our tax revenues. And then we have annual expenditure information. And like I said, we got those for the years of 2006 through 2008. We will be getting calendar year 2009 in March, late March of this year. The filings that we received, the very first one was on March 31st, 2007. That was the first filing under the petroleum profits tax. The second filing that we received was on March 31st, 2008, and that was the first one under ACES. And then the third filing we received was on March 31st, 2009, and that was the second one under ACES. And because during this whole period of time we were still working on the regulations and defining lease expenditures and so forth, we had a tax return without some of the calculation information that we would otherwise have in a standardized tax return. So even though we received some tax calculations, we did not have a standardized return. So again, just to emphasize the point, this was all submitted somewhat manually, and we are still working on a standardized return. We hope to have that out within the year. And the last thing that we receive expenditures on are the projections. Twice a year, right before our forecast time, we do two forecasts a year. We do one in the fall and we do one in the spring. And prior to our forecast, we actually inquire of operators to please submit to us their best projections that they have for spending capital and operating in the units that they operate. And we ask for that information by unit for up to 5 years. And we, our statutes limit those communications to what they share with the working interest owners. So they do not specially prepare an expenditure projection for the Department of Revenue. They simply share what they already share with their other working interest owners. And because of that, what we get as far as projections are varied. They vary by operator and they vary by property. Since we did not prescribe a form for them to report them in, some of them categorize their costs, some of them do not.
Senator Stedman, this is Marcia Davis, Deputy Commissioner with Department of Revenue. I do want to add that the form for the annual return has actually been completed. We've had it out for comment, worked it with the industry quite a bit. We have issued it, but what we have done is because it came out here late in the year and it would be required to be used for March of the coming year in 3 months, because we by necessity have to do it in a fairly primitive computer format, which is Excel spreadsheet, the companies are going to have to take a bit of time to take their software and figure out how to merge it so it can feed into a basic Excel format. So we have by regulation stated that that standardized form will not be required to be used for this March of 2010, but it will be required for March of 2011.
We can just, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to go through the presentation, so I just kind of glanced ahead. But before we jump off and leave the transition credits, the 23 I's as you referred to, could you give us an idea of what those were? Or do you have that available? And when we get into some of these credits, we can actually put dollars to them so people at home kind of get a magnitude of what we're talking about.
Senator Stedman, we will be covering all of the individual breakdown of the credits in our credit section, which will be tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
I'll be patient, Marsha.
Okay, so as far as total North Slope operating and capital expenditures, this graph shows what we received as far as reported expenditure information from the companies. So these are basically not audited numbers, but they are totals that we received by looking at annual tax returns, and we show projections for 2010 and 2011. And you'll see that the operating expenditures are in blue and the capital expenditures are on top of that. In general, we have seen capital expenditures grow each year since we began with a net profits tax. We do see some operating expenditures decreasing in the future. We can talk about that a little bit more, and I plan to do that. So, but generally, we see increased expenditures overall on the North Slope.
Okay, and if we could just stop there. So tomorrow, we're going to go into the breakdown of the capital expenditures and where they came from.
Actually, we may be covering some of that today. Tomorrow is for the credit aspect in terms of, you know, how people have applied for the credits.
Right.
But today, as far as what makes up capital expenditures and, you know, what we can feather out from at least the detail we're seeing, and likewise for operating expenditures, we'll try to do that today.
Okay. Senator Hoffman.
But as presented here, the projected operating and capital expenditures for 2011 will be the highest expenditures over the last 5 years?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, that's correct. Yes, we show $2.9 billion for FY11 in capital expenditures, and that's higher than any other year we've seen so far. And the next slide just shows capital expenditures per barrel, and this is a total North Slope. Now, the important thing to consider in this slide is that capital expenditures, unlike operating expenditures, do not always coincide with production that is occurring. Capital expenditures normally precede production. So as we see capital expenditures per barrel rise, that is a reflection of spending and a somewhat steady or slightly declining production base. So the fact that capital expenditures per barrel are on the rise says more about future production than it does current production.
And are these net or gross barrels of tariff on your barrel calculation?
These are taxable barrels.
Okay. Net of royalty.
Yes. Then on operating expenditures per barrel, note that there's an asterisk there. These are the total reported expenditures, operating expenditures on the North Slope. This does not include the standard deduction provision, which we will talk about in a little bit. So this is basically what was reported to us in some cases in annual returns, in some cases in monthly returns. So as far as we have fiscal year 08, at about a little bit over $10, about $11 for 09, and then we see a decrease starting in fiscal year 10. And just to talk a little bit about that, operating expenditures, unlike capital expenditures, operating expenditures are the cost to more or less do business on the North Slope, day-to-day business. If you see operating expenditures come down, that's probably in part a good thing, because that could possibly mean that some efficiencies are gained on the North Slope. It could also mean that some of the services that are required to produce the oil day to day are actually costing less. So lower operating expenditures can translate to a good thing. So we see those coming down a little bit in fiscal year 10.
Senator Egan?
Just one quick question. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
So where does maintenance fall, operating or capital, as far as you report?
Senator Egan, through the chair, generally maintenance would fall in the operating expense category.
Thank you.
Senator Stedman, just as a point of clarification for the folks listening, since we'll be talking in more detail about the standard deduction, but just to make it clear on this slide, the contrast here is that these are the real actual operating expenses. Under the tax provision, there was a temporary capping, as it were, of what the operating expense deduction could be at Prudhoe and at Kuparuk, and that capping of what could be deducted as operating expense is not what is reflected in this chart. These are the actual real operating expenses.
Yes, I might add to that, these are unaudited reported, company reported figures. So these could change depending on audit, but at least at this point in time, that's what we have. So just focusing a little bit on operating expenditures. The next slide shows us a longer time series. We show Prudhoe Bay operating expenditures per barrel as reported and forecast. And we've included this chart in our ACES review report. We think it's important to note that operating expenditures really did take off quite a bit in 2006 and 2007. And if you look at some of the published documentation that Cambridge Energy puts out, you'll see a similar trend worldwide. Operating expenditures did actually increase significantly in the latter half of 2006 and 2007. And they're actually coming down a little bit worldwide in 2009 and 10. So I think this is indicative of worldwide operating expenditure trends.
And
okay.
Or just as a, for those at home looking at the slide, just, you know, when we talk about these dollars per barrel, sometimes we neglect to put it in dollar terms, and about a penny in 2010 is about $2.4 million. Each penny on this bar as far as dollars per barrel. So there's huge impacts when we start looking at, you know, if we produced 240 million barrels a year, thereabouts, in FY10. It's nice if we could try to put it in dollar terms of what we have on the table, because.
And Marcia reminded me that one of the items that is we need to consider when we're talking about operating expenditures are the price of oil. And I guess I sort of alluded to that without actually expanding on that story. Along with the increase in operating cost per barrel, you also saw an increase in the price of oil. And we believe that the price of oil and the price of doing business in oil and gas operations is directly correlated, although possibly lagged. We do believe there's a correlation there. And so when you saw the run-up in prices, you saw that various services and items and lease expenditures that would otherwise be cheaper all of a sudden increased due to just the increased cost of doing business. And that's all directly related to the price of commodities, including oil as one of them. So now we did see a price decline in 2008 and 2009, and so we're hopefully that's also helping to drive the operating cost down.
Senator Stedman, through the chair, probably the non-economist or lay way to think about that is that as the price of oil goes up, it becomes much more lucrative to be in the oil and gas business and to get after it quicker. Time is money. So there's an intense amount of demand placed on services, materials, rigs, et cetera. So with obviously higher demand on those commodities, they can afford to increase their prices. And that's what generally starts to drive up the cost as the oil price goes up. And then when the oil price peaks and drops, demand goes down, commodities lag, but eventually have to come down to finally find their equilibrium point with the current demand.
So I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this 2010 projection on the operating, it's roughly $2 billion.
I'm sorry, Senator Stedman, the $2 billion would be total North Slope.
Yeah, and that's what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
That's correct.
Yeah, excuse me, which includes Prudhoe, but right. Go ahead and continue.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the standard deduction. We were asked to provide a slight recap.
Good. Senator Thomas.
Thank you. Just before we move on to the standard deduction, is there a particular, as I look at the chart, relatively significant increase in the operating expenditures? Is that related to the maintenance that may have been triggered by the, by some of the difficulty that was realized in 2006 at Prudhoe Bay with the oil line fractures, things like that? Or do you actually separate that out or pay much attention to what specific items may have created such a danger?
Senator Thomas, through the chair, in absolute dollars, we certainly are seeing an increase in operating expense associated with the work, the repair work, et cetera, with a caveat that obviously the actual amounts associated with spilled, the corrosion event itself, are not allowed to be deducted as a lease expenditure, so those wouldn't show up necessarily on our return since they're not allowed to be deducted. But in an overall sense, once you've had a spill, you are going to get out and start replacing other lines in a proactive manner, and so we certainly would see some uptick. However, that alone doesn't explain the increase in operating expense on a per barrel basis. That would still be showing what the relative cost of the labor or the service or whatever would be. So both elements, you'd see some uptick.
Thank you.
Ms. Davis, if we could, on the Prudhoe Bay operating expenditures, we got it in, you know, the bar chart. It'd be nice if you got back with the committee of the dollar amount per barrel and then the other expenditures outside of Prudhoe Bay per barrel. That's what we're attempting to do here, is parse out Prudhoe and Kaparik. Amongst many other things.
Yes, Senator Stedman, I think part of our challenge is we have a data set for Prudhoe Bay operating expenses that we don't have for the Kaparik operating expenses. So we can roll them up. Where we've rolled them up, I think we've taken it back to 2008. I don't know that we have data for the other fields' operating expenses.
Well, then maybe we can then just have Prudhoe and then everybody else, if that's how we got to do the parsing. But clearly the interest is going into Prudhoe and Kaparik.
Right. I guess my point is I don't know that we would be able to have a total North Slope operating expense figure for 03, 04, or 05.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And just as a frame of reference, we do publish some material in our revenue sources book. It's on a much higher scale. We do total North Slope expenditures. I think the most recent projection we had was we had capital and operating basically split at about $8. More like $9 per barrel. So, I will verify that and get you some information. But our revenue sources book is a good source of information for just greater North Slope picture type information. So we were asked to talk a little bit about the standard deduction provision. For those of you who are kind of new to this provision, the standard deduction refers to a limitation that was placed on operating on lease expenditures in Prudhoe Bay and Kaparik units for purposes of deducting for the ACES tax. And the amount was limited to the lease expenditures that were set in calendar 2006, that would have been the first year that we had a net profits tax, and it was adjusted so that it could be inflated by 3% every year. So we had the standard deduction in place for calendar years 2007, 2008, and 2009. And the provision was to sunset at the end of calendar year 09, which it has, and we have yet to receive our first monthly report without the standard provision. We will have that at the end of February, and we'll be able to report a little bit more to you on that at that time. But our anticipation is that, on the next slide, basically the Prudhoe Bay OPEX per barrel, again, using the same numbers that we did in the previous slide from 2003 to 2006, and then the OPEX per barrel that was allowed under the standard deduction in the orange. So you have a pretty widening scale beginning with 2007, 2008, and 2009. These are calendar years. And we were asked to project in 2010 what it would be, and we see the gap narrowing somewhat. We believe that has to do with operating expenses coming down in general on the North Slope and in Prudhoe Bay in particular. So we saw bigger, wider impacts in earlier years, but we believe that that's coming together. And so what kind of impact did the standard deduction have? Well, for Prudhoe Bay and Inca Park, it held operating expenditures fairly level for 3 years. And for us forecasters, of course, we love that because it made it a little bit easier for us to forecast expenditures and therefore revenues. But we found that the difference between the standard deduction and the reported costs were greater in general at Prudhoe Bay than at Kaparik. And
could you repeat that, please, Ms. Neal?
We saw that the difference between what was allowed to be deducted under the standard deduction and the total reported costs for the two units to be greater at Prudhoe Bay than at Kaparik unit. We receive on our monthly forms, we ask how much is deducted under the standard deduction and how much did you actually spend in that unit. And that would be the difference between those two numbers.
Senator Stedman, as we looked at that and contemplated sort of speculating why there would have been a difference between the two units, you know, one thought would be that because Prudhoe Bay is in an active mode of repair and addressing a lot of corrosion issues and whatnot, there was less discretion on their part as to what they would or would not spend relative to operating expenses. Whereas at Kaparik, if they're not in a crisis mode, they can choose to defer or shift their expenditures elsewhere so that they had more freedom to try to aspire to stay closer to that cap limit than perhaps Prudhoe owners had the option of.
And then another point is the impact on state revenues was more significant as oil prices increase. And we'll see that on the next page. On the next page, we have a graph that shows basically, number one, the amount of North Slope production tax paid in those fiscal years, and then the impact of the standard deduction. And for fiscal year 07, the standard deduction was only in place for half the year, so the impact was fairly slight. Also, that had to do with the fact that the oil prices were not as high as subsequent years. And then in fiscal year 08, we all know that we had some very high oil prices, and that also increased the tax rate. And so the tax rate increased the impact to the state of the standard deduction provision. So in other words, if you have a standard deduction that is somewhere between, like, let's say, 100 million different than what we're allowing, then 100 million times whatever that tax rate is that we're assessing it at is the impact, the revenue impact to the state. So because fiscal year 08 had very high oil prices, high tax rates, we had a more substantial impact. And then in fiscal year 09, we saw it go down again. Again, mostly reflected of oil prices.
Okay. And the total for the standard deduction?
It looks like about 600. Mm-hmm.
Maybe when we go forward, we can, when we talk about the credits tomorrow and break that down, and we can take a look at the credits created in Prudhoe and Kaparik and the 611 out of the standard deduction. Obviously, the credits are stimulus, and this is a suppressant in a simple form, I guess. So the one of the questions is how much dampening of the 20% credit in Prudhoe and Kaparik, which is where the easier oil and where the money for the industry and the treasury is, how much did that 20% credit stimulation get offset by the standard deduction, if any?
Right, Senator Stebbins. Yes, we do in our analysis of what we have as far as categorization of expenses, we do see that oftentimes there is a operating expense component to a capital expense.
Right.
So you're correct.
Senator Stedman, also keep in mind the standard deduction only operated relative to the operating expenses, not the capital expenses.
Right.
So its impact wouldn't have had an impact on the value of capital investment and the 20% tax credit under 023. It would have impacted the overall tax rate, the base rate of the 25% and the progressivity rate.
Right, but I think one of the, I understand that. I think that what we're trying to get a feel for, and it's not an exact science, but how much of a counter to the 20% credit, and I don't know what that is in dollars. It's probably three times is what I'd guess, somewhere in there, or twice of the $611 million. How much did that dilute the credit stimulation of Prudhoe Park? Because the credit, as I recall, was put in there to help infield drilling and access heavy oil.
Correct.
And the magnitude of $611 million is $611 million. I mean, it's not a little amount of money. Mm-hmm. So it's, but I understand it doesn't go directly to the capital expenditure side, but it may have inhibited possibly capital decisions to go forward and try to extract more oil out of Prudhoe Park. Mm-hmm. Maybe it didn't, I don't know. We'll try to sort that out the next few days.
And then to touch real briefly on the capital exemption. The capital exemption was a provision that was actually retained from the petroleum profits tax through to ACES. It basically exempts 30 cents per barrel of capital expenditures. And during the petroleum profits tax, this was a provision added fairly late in the deliberations on the tax. And it was initially intended to address the costs of maintaining and upgrading pipeline and facilities.
If we could just pause there for a minute and just add a little more editorial. In count of the age of our oil basin, as I recall, I think that's correct, 30 cents.
My understanding, Senator Stedman, was that the 30 cents per barrel was a bit of a break for the state, that the state would not have to pay to upgrade very aged infrastructure and facilities on the North Slope.
Concerning the capital credit.
Concerning capital credits.
Correct.
That's correct. And it applies to all the barrels produced, regardless of the property. So a barrel in Prudhoe Bay would pay the same amount as a barrel in Alpine or in Endicott. And the impact of the capital exemption was basically that we had reduced capital expenditures by close to $70 million per year. Again, this is a per barrel fee, so that would actually go down as production decreases. And we were asked to evaluate whether or not we think that was sufficient to cover the maintenance and the upgrade of facilities on the North Slope. What we've seen basically is there has been some infrastructure renewal, and typically it can cost anywhere from tens of millions of dollars to hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not clear whether these improvements were because of the aging infrastructure or whether it was actually just something that was part of the plan of the project and the development. But we feel that if a several hundred million dollar improvement was made, probably that improvement will last some 10 to 20 years. So 10 to 20 years of $70 million per year could add up to enough to cover the maintenance and upgraded facility. That's as far as we can get on whether or not that's been effective. But I will just point out, too, that with the ACES tax, we added a provision. It's at 4355-165E19. That addresses unplanned maintenance. And that provision is actually an exemption. Companies that have expenditure, be it capital or operating, that is incurred because of an unplanned event, unforeseen breakdown or malfunction or something in their equipment, then they are not allowed to deduct that. And in the couple of years since we passed ACES, we've actually seen some self-reporting from companies that that they had these unplanned expenditures and that they were not deducting them. And the next slide just shows basically the capital exemption per year. You can see it going down, it's per barrel, and our production, it just reflects our production decline.
If we just pause there for a minute, just for those watching at home, one of the issues that we'll have tomorrow when we talk about the credit is how much of the credit is applicable to exploration development, infield drilling, so on and so forth, versus how much for general maintenance, replacing old pipes, old infrastructure. And 30 cents a barrel was put in there to help protect the state from the 20% capital credit that went to normal maintenance on an older field versus, you know, getting more oil out of the ground, literally. So it is a fairly, it's one of these contentious issues. So it's.
And I guess my next slide is just to give you a little bit of, take out some of my frustrations. The lease expenditure information mixed bag. Part of our, we receive a lot of information about lease expenditures. We receive some of it in hard copy, we receive some of it in Excel, we receive some of it in PDF. And so this mixed bag not only is in the different forms that we receive it, but it's also in the types of reporting that we actually get. So when we talk about categorization of lease expenditures, a lot of attention right now is on, are the cost of the lease expenditures going towards maintenance? Are they going towards rate adding? Are they going towards other programs? We have basically a mixed bag of information to deal with. And the reason for that is because we basically have not required the companies to tell us how they spend their money. On the monthly informations, we do not have a breakout of types. Other than we have capital and we have operating, we don't ask them to break the expenditures down further. The annual production tax return also does not have a requirement for expenditures to be broken down in by category. The future expenditure projections from the North Slope operators also do not require that they break their expenditures down into categories. But there's a big however to that. And the however is that some operators do provide that information to us. And they provide it to us in the form of their future expenditure projections. And to further complicate to throw more stuff into the mixed bag, they provide it on some units and not on all units. So we do have a little bit of a mixed bag of what we're looking at, but we've done our best to compile all the information that we have that does break down expenditures by category and to try and classify them based on, would these be maintenance type or studying type expenditures or safety type expenditures, or could they be rate adding expenditures? So we've done our best to sift through the information we have to determine that. And just to give you an example of categories, we've got expense workovers, major repairs, seismic acquisition and testing, major accident review, facility integrity, well work. Some of those are fairly obvious where they belong, some are not. And to further add to the mixed bag, you will have one company call something one thing, and you'll have another company call that very same thing something a little bit different. So it makes determining these categories a little bit less than as clear a cut as we'd like it to be.
Ms. Nienhaus, we can sympathize. We have that with different presenters.
Yes. Okay. So doing the best we can. Let's see, okay, so composition of North Slope expenditure, I apologize, I changed the order just a little bit, but I'm on the same one you are right now. So we took all this information that we had, this mixed bag, and we tried to determine, was the expenditure related to resource and development related? And in other words, were there any words to the effect of drilling or well work? Were there any words about enhanced oil recovery or seismic or facilities at new fields? Those were all costs that we more or less put into what we would call a development-related expenditure category. Capital expenditures that we did not put into that type of category were things like major repairs. We saw categories that said major repairs. We saw categories that said corrosion-related expenditures or safety upgrades. We believe that those ultimately were not, while they might have been appropriate for the unit they were spent in, they might not have ultimately been rate adding.
Let me move on. Senator Stedman, one of the challenges that we had in trying to split the costs into buckets was stepping back and asking ourselves, why is that a relevant activity? Why are we splitting them up? Because we've certainly heard from, had inquiries from various legislators leading up to this session asking us if we could provide information about what is the cost of maintenance versus the cost of production. And one of our concerns is that we don't want folks to lose sight of how important it is that at the existing fields, Peruto and Kuparik and others, where you have maintenance activities associated with upgrading and improving the existing infrastructure, where you, say, expand your gas handling or whatnot, those actually have production impacts. And they're important production impacts because if you lengthen the life of Peruto or lengthen the life of Kuparik, as we saw in our production forecast with the skins, those are big skins. Those are still large skins. And as we improve the existing infrastructure, including the existing infrastructure associated with the facilities there, that decline curve, instead of being that sharp 6%, you know, it flattens out and can become 4 or 3%, lending more production out to the end. So we would just caution that as the people who are weighing the policies associated with the merits, you know, don't lose sight of it. Isn't just new wells or, you know, EOR projects or seismic that put production into the pipe that enhance the state's revenues. It's also some of the unsexy, plain vanilla maintenance type activities that go on at the major fields as well.
I think, if I could just add, I think one of the directions that we're trying to go is to get a feel for the 20% credit. And is it working? Is it not working? Is there anything in there that's neutralized it or enhanced it? Mm-hmm. And I recognize that the operating expenses aren't the capital expenses. So I recognize that. But when we get into the capital side, I think it becomes very pertinent what is going on to create the capital credit, the 20% capital credit.
Understood.
And is it going to enhance oil recovery, or is it going, has it been spent and created to do large, you know, deferred or maintenance projects? Mm-hmm. So to get a feel for that credit and its impact, we need to try to sort through that. And so I just didn't want you to get the impression that we thought the operating and the capital were all one lump sum ball.
Yes, Senator Stedman, you're correct, and it's not just capital expenditures too. As we discussed before, there's usually an operating component that goes with a capital expenditure. So yes, we're seeing that drilling and well work type of things, those types of expenditures incur on the capital and the operating side. So given this mixed bag of expenditure information and what we know based on plans on the North Slope, we put together this slide that said, based on these very difficult to define categories, these are the types of expenditures we're seeing basically going forward. And in 2008, it was fairly low, but then in 2009, we're seeing actually a pretty significant percentage, not quite 75%, somewhere in the 73% range, We are seeing that drop off slightly in the future. But again, these are based on projections that come from companies. Those projections do change. We receive different projections every 6 months. So this is the latest information we have based on what companies plan to spend.
I'm going to pull you back to that slide here in a minute, so don't take off too quick. The decline here, there was a slide earlier that showed the expenditures increasing in 11. That's the capital expenditures per barrel. Slide number, whatever it is. Right there. Yeah, that'll work. Can you help us? Because again, we haven't had a chance to go through the slides previous to this, but can you help us rectify this slide in 11, which is showing an increase, and the decrease that you're showing in 11 on the current slide? It's challenging without slide numbers, but.
Page five.
Sure, Senator Stedman, yeah. And we have it up there for your information. Well, we are seeing increasing expenditures on the North Slope in general. We, from the projections we've received, we do find that some of those resource and development costs are actually declining percentage-wise, but they're only declining from about 73% to about 71%. So it's still not a significant chunk of expenditures that are going to non-resource development.
Could you maybe help us with putting these in dollars so we can compare that slide five with
18
or four, slide four and slide five? I guess because slide four is in dollars. With that last slide, we're on 18 or whatever number it was. I want to parse that trend out, because when we mix dollars per barrel, percentages, and then total dollars, we need to get one consistent definition, or do all three if that's what makes you happy, whatever. But I think dollars, gross dollars, so we don't have to do the barrel conversion, gross dollars would be helpful.
Senator,
I think it'd be easy to do the data that way too.
And Senator Stedman, we apologize because we did flip the metric here. When you look at the slide up above, this is the entirety of all lease expenditures that we're looking at, the OPEX and the CAPEX. And so that column stands for the totality. What the slide here, that's the percentage, is basically saying of that totality that's up there on the wall, say for instance in 2009, 74% of that column is associated with what the category we would call production related, which means approximately the other 17 or 27% is in the other category, meaning it's the maintenance, it's the non-production related type activity. So as we look out there, we see a slight dip in 2010 in total OPEX and CAPEX spent. Of that slightly reduced total, what you see is just a tiny bit increase in that chart is going to be associated with production-related expenditures than in the prior year. And finally, when you get out to 2011, where we've got projected total OPEX and CAPEX spent on the North Slope being at the record high of $5 billion, of that, we're dropping back down now and saying only 72% of that is going to be related to production, directly the production type expenditures as opposed to the maintenance type expenditures.
And then 2012 on the next slide, it goes down. I can't see the number here, maybe 68 or some number, because they're not.
Right. So on these projections, what you're seeing is if the percentage is coming down, it's saying that the relative mix between production related expenditures and what we are calling non-direct production-driven expenditures is balance, is coming back into a little more balance. Mm-hmm. It's not as dominantly production-driven, and from 2010 down to 2012, you're seeing a little more appearance of the maintenance-type non-production expenditures.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but it was stated earlier that lower operating expenditures are a good thing and higher capital expenditures are also a good thing. And then when you mix those and can't delineate a column which is operating and capital, it gets confusing.
It absolutely is combined. So what we could do is split this out. If we, for one thing, I think I just heard my economist complain that I made her split out the production versus the non. And if I try to, we can try to take within the production, split out how much of that is operating expense and capital expense. You could, as you suggest, Senator Hoffman, have two charts showing directionally what's happening each year for each independent element.
Because, Mr. Chairman, when the operating costs go down and then we look at them combined in a graph like we have on 18, although they're not numbered, it looks as though we're not doing the industry good. But if 80% of that reduction is in operating costs, that might be a good thing. So that's why I think we need to, as the chairman noted, concentrate on, even though the operating costs go down, we need to look at that, but keep them separate from the capital expenditures, which on the earlier graph shows that they've been fairly consistently from 2008. Every single year there have been an increase in capital expenditures.
That's correct, Senator Hoffman.
And so, yes, we could probably come back with some dollars. I think that would add some clarity to some of this. We can do that, certainly.
We like the resource development expenditure line, by the way, of more oil coming out of the ground. So.
Okay. So, and this is where I want to have you look at the last slide in your packet. So if we could go ahead to the last slide, because this slide kind of caps off some of the work that we did.
Recent trends.
So the recent trends in North Slope costs, that's the last slide in your packet. Just to summarize, we have somewhat limited data. Again, we have just projection type data. We have no way to verify that what was projected to be spent was actually the way the spending occurred, at least not at this point in time. We may request of operators that they provide us with information like that so we can report on historical costs. But at the current time, we do not have anything other than projections. And so given the projections and the limited comparison of expenditures that we have on Prudhoe Bay before and after PPT, our conclusions are, at least for Prudhoe Bay, that maintenance and corrosion repair expenses are not the key driver behind the growth in capital expenditures. And we will note that they did grow, although they did not grow disproportionately.
Can you run that by me again?
Yes, that maintenance and corrosion repair expenses did grow from the 2003 period to 2008, but that they did not grow disproportionately.
Senator Stedman, so to state the corollary, the expenses associated with production-related activities also were growing in terms of the capital expenditures. In other words, the growth in total capital expenditures was not simply because of maintenance and corrosion.
Did we jump ahead of a bunch of slides, or did I just get scrambled up here?
We went to the very last slide.
Just to confuse the chairman?
Yeah, no. I promise we weren't trying. No. I think it was because it's more of a summary of the pieces that she was just talking about, the CapEx and the OpEx, and then the other subject will
Come back and pick those
We're
up.
We're going to go back and pick those up. Yes, sir.
Well, you'll have to kind of start over because I was tuning out trying to figure out where you guys were.
Okay.
Sorry.
Or where I was in your presentation, I should say.
and we found the majority of the increase in capital expenditures was due to drilling, seismic, and projects like the development of the western region of Prudhoe Bay. And then for operating expenditures, we found that major repairs, although they are a part of the operating expenditures, is still a relatively small part, and that well work expenditures are a primary driver behind the increase in operating expenditures. Again, this is during the period that we looked at from 2003 to 2005 and 2008 to 2010. For Prudhoe Bay.
Okay, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, again, you say that the driving force of the expenditures on capital was not the major expenses, not maintenance and corrosion repairs, but the majority of it was in capital for drilling and seismic. Is that a 59-41 scenario, or is it a 70-30, or that's a broad spectrum? Do you have it more fine-tuned than what that statement is presenting?
Yes, Senator Hoffman, through the chair. We found that there was generally about a $500 million per year increase in CapEx from that three-year period before PPT and three-year period after PPT, and that about 60% of that was an increase due to drilling activities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. So can I extrapolate that is, you know, here on your slide on the CapEx, talks about the majority of the increase in capital expenditures is due to so on and so forth, such as the western region of Prudhoe Bay. Is that inclusive of the entire basin? That statement?
Senator Stebbins, that would be all of Prudhoe Bay unit, correct? The greater Prudhoe Bay Point McIntyre unit.
And when we go outside of that unit, how much credits are created? The Prudhoe and Point McIntyre. How much of the entirety are we looking at here of credits?
Okay, this would actually be capital expenditure.
Or capital expenditure.
This work is primarily Prudhoe Bay. We have a longer time series for Prudhoe Bay. Right. So we don't have as long of a time series for anything other than Prudhoe Bay. So we primarily analyzed Prudhoe Bay costs prior to PPT and after PPT. And that's what this reflects.
So we'll back up and do those slides?
Yes. So going back to a second spending trend that we're finding, and again, I want to emphasize trend because we don't have a whole lot as far as categorization and so forth. But what we do have are we reported projections from companies that are operating on the North Slope. And we've received projections beginning in the spring of 2008, we received projections in the fall of 2008, the spring of 2009, and the fall of 2009. And generally speaking, in the fall of 2008, most units, and I say operators for most units, projected increasing expenditures in both capital and operating expenditures. With the fall 2009 projections, we saw a change in that, and what we saw was that some of the operators were reporting that they were going to invest less in their fields, both in operating and capital, although we talked about operating being slightly different than capital, and we saw some operators reporting that they were going to spend more in mostly capital expenditures. And we tried to make sense of that and try and say how can we group these so that these have meaning? What we found is that generally the currently producing units were the ones that in fall 2009 projected lower expenditures, decreasing expenditures going forward. The developing units, and I can define that in a minute, actually projected higher expenditures going forward. So the developing units generally were the Point Thompson unit, Nikayachuk unit, Ugaruk, even though it's currently producing, it is still somewhat considered developing, and then the NPRA. Those four areas, we found actually there was a difference in that they were projecting higher expenditures going forward, and the remaining units, those being Prudhoe Bay, Kaparik, Milne Point, Endicott, and Alpine were projecting actually decreasing expenditures going forward. So we thought that that would be somewhat of a trend, and we wanted to look at it for not just going forward, but historically how that changed. So the next slide shows that as far as the percentage of the total capital expenditures in fiscal year 08, the underdevelopment category was probably maybe a quarter of the whole. As you go into 2009 and through 2011, the underdevelopment expenditures take up a greater proportion of the total spending on the North Slope. And just to put that in a little different light, the next slide shows that, again, this now shows the currently producing properties, in other words, not the developing properties, these being the currently the Prudhoe Bay, Kaparik, Milne Point, Endicott, North Star, Badami. We show the fall 2008 projections for the years of 2010, 2011, and 2012, totaling about $6.8 billion. And in fall 2009, the 3 years totaling about $5.4 for all those units. I do have to say that this does exclude Colville River Union, and that is because we do not receive the same level of capital a projection for that unit than we receive on the other ones. So that does this. Both of these exclude Colville River.
But my understanding is that currently producing units, Prudhoe, Kaparik, Alpine, Millennium Point, oil's easier to find there, most likely more of it, and it's where the revenue is for the industry and the revenue is for the state. Is that correct, or?
Senator Stedman, you're correct. Yes, that's where the majority of our tax production tax comes from.
Well, this trend would be nice. Look nicer if it was reversed, I guess. Senator Ellis, and then Senator Hoffman. Do you have a question? Okay, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going back to yesterday's presentation where we had wells on the North Slope, and the three categories that we had were wells drilled in 2008, wells drilled in 2009, and the red ones were wells permitted and planned. Now, on the graph that you just presented, the one prior to this, are these, how does that relate to this structure here? Are these wells permitted and planned?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair. The types of wells that we were talking about yesterday would be exploration wells, and so those, if they were included in NPRA, which is where a lot of the activity is.
Currently producing are all wells, but the underdevelopment, which ones would they be under the yesterday's presentation?
Senator Hoffman, they would be under the development.
The wells permitted and planned?
Senator Hoffman, yes, through the chair, yes. Essentially, that was a presentation of, I believe, what Director Kevin Banks described as exploration activity. And so those under our analysis we would call under development. And so virtually every single well on that page should be what we would call under development. What he did not include on that sheet, it would have taken a total separate sheet and it would have been a lot more wells, would have been the description of the well work and the, you know, extra wells being drilled in existing fields that are currently producing, and that would be another set of wells.
So what the industry's telling us is that there's a lot less activity, but the underdevelopment, we see an increase every year since 2008, 2009, and projected for 2010 and 11.
That is correct, Senator Hoffman, through the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then the next slide shows the same sort of breakdown on currently producing properties. In the fall 2008 projections that we received from the operators, we were told that about $6.8 billion would be, I'm sorry, I've got to catch up with you guys. I already did that one. So on developing properties, the fall 2008 projections totaled $1.6 billion for the 3 years, and we're seeing that increase significantly in the fall 2009 projections. And we have broken those out by year, what the planned spend is. Again, just keep in mind these are company projections. They aren't necessarily, you know, they change. This is not a guaranteed set in stone. They also have to consult with our working interest owners. This may or may not come to fruition, but at least as of fall 2009, these were the projections.
I'm not sure on your y-axis what the y-axis is.
Oh, yeah. Apologies. Good catch. But the numbers at the top are correct, so proportionally speaking.
It's the concept we're after today.
It's the concept, correct. And that's all I have for my presentation.
So do we have any further questions or areas of concern? That pretty much concludes today then. We have, before everybody runs off, the commissioner is excited and wanting to come forward, so we have another half hour, so we'll just have a brief at ease here.